One of the medics found Sky, and after an initial checkup, placed a breather mask over his face, flooding his ailing respiratory system with pure oxygen. He felt some of that black tide lap away. "Help Titus," Sky said, indicating his father, "but do what you can for the passenger as well." "Are you certain?" the medic said, who by then must have grasped something of what had gone on. Sky pressed the mask to his face again before answering, his mind racing ahead to what he could do to the passenger, the labyrinthine ways in which he might inflict pain on the killer.
"Yes, I'm more than certain."
Chapter 11. I woke up shivering, trying to extricate myself from the coils of the houseman dream. The dream's afterimage was disturbingly vivid. I could still feel myself there with Sky, watching his wounded father being taken away. I examined my hand in the dim light of the sleeping cubicle, the blood at the center of my right palm black and cloying like a spot of tar. Sister Duscha had told me this was a mild strain, but I was obviously nowhere near getting over it on my own. There was no way I could have delayed chasing Ryvich, but Duscha's suggestion that I spend another week or so in Idlewild, having the virus flushed out by professionals, suddenly seemed infinitely preferable to weathering it on my own. And while the strain might have been weak compared to some, there was no guarantee that it had reached its worst. Now I felt a familiar and not very welcome feeling, nausea. I wasn't at all used to zero gravity, and the mendicants hadn't given me drugs to make my trip any more bearable. I thought about it for a few minutes, debating whether it was worth leaving my cubicle, or whether I should just lie low and accept the discomfort until we reached the glitter band. Eventually my stomach won, and I decided to make my way to the ship's communal core. One of the instruction labels in the cabin told me I'd be able to buy something to kill the worst of the sickness. Just getting to the commons was more adventure than I really needed. It was a wide furnished and pressurized sphere, somewhere near the front of the ship, where food, drugs, and entertainment were available. But it was only accessible through a warren of claustrophobic one-way crawlways, which snaked around and through the engine components. The instructions in my cubicle advised against tardiness during crawls through certain parts of the ship, leaving the reader to draw their own conclusions about the state of the internal nuclear shielding in those areas. On my way there, I thought about the dream. There was something about it that bothered me, and I kept asking myself whether what had happened in it meshed with what I already knew about Sky Houseman. I was no expert on the man. I hadn't been, anyway, but there were certain basic facts about him which it was difficult to avoid if you had been brought up on Sky's Edge. We all knew about the way he had become frightened of the dark after the blackout aboard the Santiago, when the other ship blew up, and we all knew about the way his mother had died in the same incident. Lucretia had been a good woman by all accounts, well-loved across the flotilla. Titus, Sky's father, was a man who was respected and feared but never truly hated. They called him the Caudillo, the strong man. Everyone agreed that while Sky might have had an unusual upbringing, his parents could not really be blamed for the crimes that followed. We all knew that Sky had not had many friends, but nonetheless we remembered the names of Norquinco and Gomez, and how they had been complicit, if not truly equal partners, in what had happened later. And we all knew that Titus had been gravely injured by a saboteur placed amongst the passengers. He had died a few months later, when the saboteur broke out of his restraints in the ship's infirmary and murdered him while he was recuperating nearby. But now I was puzzled. The dream had veered into an area which was unfamiliar to me. I didn't remember anyone ever mentioning